Turn in your Bibles, if you're using the Pew Bibles, at page 62 in the New Testament section there, and turn to Luke chapter 17. Pick up reading with verse 20. The verse we want to look at this morning is verse 32, but in order to set the context, I'll begin reading with verse 20 and read through verse 37. As we prepare to come to God's Word, let's look to Him once again in prayer. Lord, we realize our own weakness and lack of focus so often when we come to Your Word, and we plead for Your help this morning to focus our thoughts without distraction on Your Word and on the teaching herein, or at least some of the teaching herein. We can't get to all of it this morning. But Lord, we plead that You would make it profitable for us, for our very souls, in whatever state they're in this morning. That You'd save the lost among us, and You would build up Your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, beginning with verse 20 of Luke chapter 17. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." And he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there and look here.' Do not go away and do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things, be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. And on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other will be left. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other will be left." And answering, they said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the body is, there also the vultures will be gathered." Well, here ends the reading of this portion of the Word of God. We only want to look at one verse here, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. This passage, this verse of Scripture is said in the context of a coming judgment of which Jesus is speaking of. Now, I'm not going to get into this morning whether this is the judgment in 70 A.D. That is close at hand for the city of Jerusalem, or if it's the very judgment at the end of time. The important thing that it is a time of judgment, and we do not face the judgment of Jerusalem, but we all face the end times judgment. We sang about it in Psalm 98 that we sang as our opening hymn this morning. We confessed it in the Apostles' Creed that we're all going to face judgment before the Lord God. And so, whatever the case might be, it's certainly true that we face that ahead of us. But thankfully, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as God's people to look to. And he is our comfort and our hope. But in the midst of Christ's words here, regarding the future judgment, he calls those who hear him to remember Lot's wife. As I said in my introduction to the service this morning, we don't know what Lot's wife's name was. And so it's very interesting that Jesus would tell us to remember someone whose name we don't even know, because the focal point is on her actions. She, too, committed this action in the midst of judgment on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is telling us this morning to remember Lot's wife and what she did in judgment, even in the times in which we live. And we'll say more about this as we work through this Old Testament passage that Dan read, where I really want to go this morning. But I trust this will be a verse that you and I can easily commit to memory. I have trouble memorizing Scripture. If you don't, that's wonderful, but I do. But here's a verse that I can memorize, and you young people, and you, all of us who are adults, we can easily commit this to memory and use it for the rest of our lives. These three words: remember Lot's wife. I want us this morning to look at three reasons why we should remember Lot's wife. And the first thing I want us to note as we really go back and work through the passage in Genesis that speaks to this whole issue, is that we want to remember her covenant home. Now that speaks, I would say, to all of us, or almost every one of us here. You're in a covenant home. And that's one thing we need to remember about Lot's wife. She was from a covenant home. Was she saved? Scripture doesn't tell us whether she was saved. Lot does not appear to be married when we meet him here originally in Scripture in Genesis chapter 12 and then on into 13. You recall the situation that brought him into Sodom and Gomorrah. He looked upon the land that was well watered in the plains, not taking into account the wickedness of the people that dwelt there in Sodom and Gomorrah, as Genesis chapter 13 tells us in verse 13 of their exceeding wickedness. But his eyes were focused on the land and the profitability of that land. And so he ended up settling there in the region of Sodom. And as we work through Scripture, we read that he moved from being outside the gates of Sodom right into Sodom itself. Now, I would speculate that he probably married someone who was there in Sodom. And Scripture tells us that he had daughters as well. And what the effects of the gospel were on Lot's wife and daughters, Scripture does not tell us. The pictures we have of them are sad pictures. And one such is our text this morning, to remember Lot's wife and what she did in the midst of judgment. But let's see the benefits that she had had, whether or not she was a Christian, the benefits she had by being in a covenant home. In a home. Covenant means in a relationship. Here was a home that had a relationship with God. At least one person in that home was saved. And That was Lot. But we read in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, speaking about God rescuing Lot. And we read these words. He rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men. And so the first benefit I want to point out regarding this home was that there was a husband there who was burdened by surrounding wickedness. Now, Lot was not burdened as much as he should have been by the sin of that city. If we had time, we could look and see some ways here in this passage 19, Genesis 19, of which he should have been burdened more. But he had some burden for the wickedness there. Of sensual men, Scripture says, of homosexuality there in that city. And that brought a demarcation, a line drawn between other homes there in the city that saw nothing wrong with the ongoing wickedness that was such a problem in that city and was one of the reasons that God brought judgment upon the city or cities themselves. Secondly, I would point out, and I just have to rush through these due to our time but this morning, but secondly, I want to point out that she heard teaching that others never knew there in that city. No doubt from Lot's righteousness, she knew something about his looking ahead to the coming Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, to the knowledge that Lot knew about it. But there was other things that she heard as a result of being in that home as well. We read in this passage of Scripture that in verse 1, that angels came to that home. And we read in verses 12 and 13 of Genesis chapter 19 that the angels say, "We are about to destroy this place because this people's outcry, wickedness, has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And so since it was a covenant home, all in that home received certain blessings from the Lord. And so we read here in verse 12 that these angels who came as men said to Lot, "Who else have you here, a son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and whomever you have in the city, bring them out of the place." There are many people in the city that knew nothing about the impending judgment upon that city. But Lot did. Lot and his household did. Because here, by God's grace, was another benefit of this covenant home. They heard teaching that others never knew. Thirdly, she along with the others headed for safety. In verse 15 and following, we read that when morning dawned, the angel said to Lot, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city." And so out of the city they went toward safety. Verse 17, "Escape for your life. Don't look behind you nor anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away." So off they went. But not quite fast enough, did they? For we read in verses 21 through 24 that they were to be hurried to Zoar. Again, you see God's hand of grace here on this whole passage, on this whole family. Hurry, verse 22 says, "Escape there, for I can do nothing until you arrive there." God had ordained that this covenant family, be in the safety of Zoar, in that region, before judgment would come down upon the wicked city of Sodom and Gomorrah. But we jump down to verse 29, and we see there that they had the benefit of others' prayers. We don't have time this morning to go back to Genesis chapter 18. But if we did, we would find in Genesis chapter 18 that passage that is familiar to many of you. And that is, we find there Lot pleading that Sodom and Gomorrah will be spared the judgment of God. And he cries out to God, "Lord, if there be only 50 righteous there, will you save the cities?" Because Lot knew his nephew lived there in the city with his family. And he didn't want to see them wiped out. And God said, "Yes, if there's 50 there, I will spare the city. If there are 50 righteous there." And on down, Lot goes, Abraham goes, decreasing the number. Always thinking, no doubt, about Lot, his nephew, and his family. And he gets down to 10, and the Lord says, "Yes, if there's only 10 there, I'll spare the city. 10 who are righteous." And Abraham stopped his pleading at that point, knowing that God was one who would do what was right. Well, we notice here in verse 29, do you see what it says there? That it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley that God remembered Abraham. What did he remember about Abraham? He remembered Abraham's prayers. Now, God laid that prayer, I believe, that concern upon Abraham's heart. And Abraham lifted that prayer back up to God. And God saw fit to answer it as he did, not by sparing the city, but by sparing Lot and his family from being overthrown with the city. So here we have five blessings of a covenant home right here in this one passage. I want to ask you this morning, all of this is by grace, of course. Do you thank God for your covenant home? Young people, do you appreciate, do you value what you have in your covenant home? To hear teaching that so many of your friends don't get to hear? To have the prayers of others? To have people within that home burdened by the sins of our own time? Do you value that? Adults, young people, do we take that too much for granted? I know it's very easy for me to take it for granted. But a passage like this, in which so many benefits of being in a covenant home stand out, it's hard for me not to mention these things and to point you to the fact that we need to rejoice in the covenant homes that God has given us. A good lunchtime topic today would be some discussion on what has been the benefit of your family living in a covenant home. How is your home different from the homes of those that do not have one Christian living therein? It could be a very fruitful discussion, sobering discussion. And along with that, I would ask you, are you heads of the home? You adults, are you trying to make your home a covenant home? Are you really trying to set it apart in a good way for as a covenant home? What, by God's grace, what do we need to ask God to help us to do better to make our homes more pleasing unto Him covenantally. There's a wickedness that we need to be more burdened about and share with our families and take time to speak to our children about and to one another as husbands and wives about. Is there a teaching from the Word of God that we need to sit down and talk to family members regarding? Much here for us to think about. But secondly, I want to point out that the Bible is for everyday life. Too often, it's very easy for us to think, now Sunday, it's Bible day. Today, I need to get my Bible and we'll be reading from it, etc. But every day is a Bible day. Time to be in the Bible. Time to be in prayer. For others, for ourselves. Politicians in these days of primaries, etc., might be asked, what impact will your religion have on your presidency if elected? Their answer is no impact. That's a wrong answer. Because the Bible, if they are Christians, the Bible is to impact, and we would hope it would impact, every area of life. Very interesting to go back and study the Gospels and see there some of the questions that Jesus is asked. He's asked questions about marriage, Matthew 19. He's asked questions about taxation elsewhere. Now, these were trap questions, questions given to trick Jesus. But undergirding this is that Jesus is one who would speak to all areas of life because the Word speaks to all areas of life. And so we want to remember that the Bible is for everyday life. It was for Lot and his family to put into practice the Word of God as they left that city and to obey what God said to do. Now, we haven't been commanded to leave a city in these times. But we are commanded to put the Bible into practice by God's grace in everyday life. May God help us to do that. And then thirdly, we need to thank God for the prayers of others. Lot was delivered, the Bible says, because God remembered Abraham. What blessings have occurred in your life because of the prayers of others? How has God laid on others' hearts prayers to pray for your needs that perhaps you didn't even know about, and you've received unknown blessings from that? Lot didn't know about Uncle Abraham praying for him at this time. But that doesn't matter. The results were there. How has God worked in other people's lives because of your prayers for them? It's exciting to think about, isn't it? It's a wonder to think about. And it's a great blessing that we need to rejoice in God in and be encouraged to be at God's throne, to pray for others, and at the same time to thank God for those, many times unknown to us, who are praying for us and some of the needs that we are facing. But yet, Lot's wife, in the midst of all of this, disobeyed God, just like you and I can, being from a covenant home. We can't take it for granted that we are in God's favor. And we can do anything we want to simply because we're from a covenant home. We saw here in the earlier reading, we will see in a few minutes, what resulted in Lot's wife's life. But God tells us, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Remember her covenant home. Secondly, I want you to remember her covetous heart. We read in verse 26 of Genesis 19 that Lot's wife from behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, if you go up just a few verses in this passage of Scripture to verse 17, you will see there that the angel specifically told Lot and his family, do not look behind you. Don't stay in the valley. Get out. Look ahead. They were to focus on ahead, where God was leading them, not to look back. In the Hebrew, this word for look back here means to look attentively. It's the same word that's used in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, where God tells Abraham to look up into the sky and see if you can count the stars, for such would his descendants be. Now, if God tells you to look up into the sky and count the stars, you've got to look attentively. Maybe some of you been on Boy Scout camping trips, or maybe some of you families that enjoy going out and camping at night, have you tried to count the stars in the sky? Can't do it, can you? So many. But you've looked attentively to try, haven't you? Well, that's what this word means here. Lot's wife looked attentively behind her, back to the city. She left relatives there. We're reading this passage, her sons-in-law would not come. They laughed at Lot in regard to a possible future judgment coming. Perhaps she had brothers there, perhaps sisters. It's a great temptation to look back. Maybe it was just a glance over the shoulder. Maybe it was a turning and a gaze. We don't know. All the Bible says is she looked back. And that was enough, you say. That was what God said not to do. Was it out of longing for what she left behind there? Was it out of pity for what was happening there at the hand of God? Or was it out of curiosity, perhaps? We don't know. Because when we disobey God, it doesn't matter the reason for it, you say. It was wrong. God said, don't do it. Don't look back. And verse 26 says very clearly that his wife from behind him looked back. Wonder what Lot felt during this time. Husbands, how would you feel? I can't imagine how I'd feel if I didn't hear my wife's footsteps behind me all of a sudden. And what could I not do? I couldn't look back because I too would be disobeying God if I did. And there's no evidence here that Lot did look back. Later, no doubt, after the judgment had ceased on the city, Lot came out of Zoar to see what had happened to his wife. And then he realized. But we have to remember that she had a covetous heart, just like you, just like me. And God speaks to our hearts. He always, by grace, speaks to our hearts because He knows our needs. And as they are unfolded to us, we can flee to Him in repentance, you see. Here in times of judgment, her covetous heart was so great covetousness in the sense that she wanted to see what was going on back there. Maybe she did or didn't want something from that city. I don't know. I don't know. But the point was, God knew her heart. And that's what He's getting at. He knows your heart and my heart, and we all have covetous hearts, you see. And if she did that in time of judgment, what would you and I do in times of just daily life? How does our covetous heart, you see, need to be addressed today? Well, it needs to be addressed in God's Word so that we can watch out for our own heart. Secondly, God speaks to us what we must hear. And that's what we have to realize here. What do we need to hear here? How do we apply this, not to someone else, but how do we apply that to me, to you? So we sat here this morning. Well, I want to ask you another question, just for us to think about. We know here what took Lot's wife's eyes off of obeying Jesus. We have another question we need to ask here this morning. What takes your eyes off of obeying Jesus? It happens to us as Christians, you see. It happens daily. That's why we need the blood of Jesus to cover our sins. But as we look back over this week or even this morning, what has taken your eyes off of obeying Jesus? All of us could give many examples. But I don't have the time to do that this morning. The important thing is that we look at our own lives. We give some thought to this day and each day so that we can address it by God's grace and learn better how to obey God by His grace and keep our eyes on Him. What takes your eyes off of obeying Jesus? That's what you need to address in your life and put up some accountability and stop gaps to hinder that, to be more cognizant of it, that you might better walk in His steps. Remember Lot's wife. Never forget your main purpose in life. To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Oh, what a great God we have that by grace comes and tells us, remember Lot's wife. Don't worry about her name. Remember what she did. She took her eyes away from doing what I told her to do. Remember that you don't do it. If you do it, flee to Jesus. Matthew Henry, great Puritan that I love to read, writes us in his commentary on this passage, "Don't look back lest you be tempted to go back." That's words I needed to hear. See, a glance can lead to more. God says, don't even go there. Remember Lot's wife. Thirdly, I want us to remember not only our covenant home, not only her covetous heart, but remember her complete helplessness. All through this passage, back in Genesis 19, we see complete helplessness. They were not even thinking of terms of God judging the cities because life was just going on as normal, even in the midst of great wickedness. Maybe they're like us. Maybe we don't think that much about God judging nations in time and in space for wickedness. But God does. We see that throughout Scripture. God judged Gentile nations. He even judged His own nation of Israel for their wickedness. But there's no evidence here that Lot and his family gave any thought of that. Angels came to warn them. Verse 10 tells us that when Lot was outside, pleading with the men outside of the city who wanted the angels to come out so that they could do wickedness with them, that it was the men, the angels themselves, that had to reach their hands out and grab Lot and bring him back into the house. We read in verse 16 that even though they knew judgment was coming into the house, into the city, what did Lot and his family do rather than running? Notice what they did in verse 16. They hesitated. So what did the angels have to do again? They had to grab Lot's hand and the hand of his wife and the hand of the children and bring them out. Oh, what weakness we see here. Even with impending judgment, the great weakness that was even in this covenant home. And notice verse 22, the angels had to implore them to hurry, escape to the city of Zoar. For I cannot do anything until you arrive there. You see the mercy of God? God was going to have this family in safety before He poured forth His judgment on the city. That was another blessing of the covenant home there that was an outworking of that passage. And the covenant blessing fell upon the whole home. But picture her deadness here. Complete helplessness. And then finally we see here that she became a pillar of salt because she looked back. How this happened, was it from the salt vapors and salt encrusting her body? Scripture doesn't say. But Scripture does say that Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. The application here that we want to make is that Jesus, who is to be our focus daily in life, is our complete help. You and I all need help from looking back. We all do it. We're broken people. We have a Savior who's not broken. His body was broken for us, but He Himself is fully sufficient because He was broken for our sins and His blood shed for your transgressions and mine. He forgives our looking back. But He has to be our focus, you see. And we want to flee to Him in the midst of our looking back. And we want to flee to Him for strength in those areas that are so tempting for us to look back in. And get His forgiveness. And get His strength to live life anew for Him and better in the coming week. May need to pray at the time of a temptation to look back. Lord, help me to remember Lot's wife. Help me to remember what's her name and what happened to her. Remember that the Bible is for daily life and is to go with you into the schools and offices and shipyards and classrooms and kitchens and wherever you go this week to be lived out. Daily. Have accountability. Read the Bible. Pray. And then remember what's her name as you go forth this week. And look unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith, for His strength, for His forgiveness when you fail Him. Look unto Him. He's faithful in the midst of our unfaithfulness. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for this account. Sad account, but very important account by God's grace of Lot's wife. And we thank you for those gracious words to remember Lot's wife. Help me and each of us to do that this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.